This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Way, way back, I was touring with a show through Toronto, and I wasn't feeling well at all. And I ended up in the ER. So I'm an actor in the show. I don't feel well. You have nowhere else to go. Where you don't feel well, you go to the ER, the emergency room. And I have to tell you, this emergency room in Toronto, Canada, was the most relaxing holiday. It was like a holiday hospital stay that I've ever had. It turned out nothing was seriously wrong other than I was nearing the end of a year-long tour. I was utterly exhausted and I was in need of a break, a physical break, a mental break. And the doctor came in and he was so caring and kind and soft-spoken and patient. And we had a long talk about self-care. And he helped me come up with a little bit of a plan to help me get through the last month of touring. I was the lead in the show. It was really demanding. And so from that point on, I will always have a soft space in my heart for all things Canadian, including the people, because of that experience. So it is not a surprise that I also found today's guest very warm and welcoming and caring. And I think our conversation is going to be even better than that stay in the ER I had. So I am pleased to introduce you to today's guest on Speaking of Events is Sandra Harriet. She is the managing director at RPI Production and acting director of education and events at CHMS. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And I am so grateful that our healthcare system took such good care of you and that you've got such a great memory from that. And I hope that today's hour is going to be a little different. But
you don't want to talk about self-care. I mean, we could talk about self-care.
We could go totally in a different direction. I'm good with that. I can ebb and flow. So no worries.
Speaking of healthcare, speaking of self-care and healthcare and Canadian healthcare, that would be a good podcast. Let's focus on events though. I think let's stay with our zone of genius and we're good. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And I do have a question, which is there was a lot of letters in your title, managing director at RPI Production and acting director of education and events at CHMSE. Would you kindly tell us first what RPI stands for?
Absolutely. So RPI is my consulting and training firm, and it stands for Riot Productions, Inc. And the Riot comes from my surname, Harriet. And I just thought it would be a really fun play on words. And it also creates some good conversation. People are like, what do you do? Do you create a riot? And no, we're not about creating riots. We're about really being able to provide some phenomenal experiential events, training, as well as just high level consulting and strategy work. And the other part of what I do is I'm the acting director for CHMSE. And CHMSE is the Canadian Hotel Marketing and Sales Executives. And so we're a professional association outside of Toronto that focuses on hotels, hoteliers, as well as our affiliates who support those hoteliers. So people who are in audiovisual, decor, and other supporting industries. So we're able to bring to them a wealth of educational opportunities through our meetings, as well as combining opportunities for meeting planners to interact and work with and meet our members from the hotel space. So it's a really lovely association to be part of. And we have been on hiatus since COVID started. We're just getting back in. So we're super excited. We're going to have our first event in in September up here in Toronto. We've had a few more closures than other countries have. So we're just taking a cautious approach to getting back into it. And of course, the hotel industry has taken such a hit, the tourism industry overall. So we're just slowly starting to rebuild, and we are super excited to get back into it.
Yes. I was going to talk about that in a little bit, but we're here, so let's do it. What for those who are not in Canada, who've maybe only had the experience in the US or elsewhere, that there was a little bit of a different, I know when we talked, and I've talked to my other Canadian colleagues, that there is a little bit of a different experience happening in Canada as opposed to here in the States. Would you talk a little bit about that in terms of COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. Just very high level. I mean, we experienced a lot of lockdowns, a lot of restrictions, a lot of layoffs, specifically in the hospitality industry. And it was a really challenging time for us. I think I read a stat that said that Ontario, which is the province that I'm from, I'm just outside of Toronto, was the number one lockdown kind of region in the world. It was a really odd time. However, from an event perspective, we had many of our sister associations like MPI, Meeting and Professional International, and others who did so much online that, you know, really kept the industry whole, which was really lovely to see. Everyone pivoted. That word pivot, I don't think it's got a whole new meaning, right?
For sure. Yes.
Pandemic. But you know, the our members pivoted. We had almost 80% of our membership was laid off throughout COVID because the hotels just weren't open, right? We had the borders were closed, people weren't flying in, people weren't flying out. So there were a lot of things that were happening. And we just supported our membership throughout that, and you know, had some touch base points with people just to understand where they're coming from. But we also didn't want to add to, you know, some of the challenges that were being presented. So we decided to take a hiatus so that we could come back strong and purposeful in, you know, in the years to come. And that's what we're doing.
You're so positive. And how did you maintain that throughout? 80% of your membership was laid off. How do you stay heads above that? How do you, or do you, keep a smile on your face and looking forward? How did that work?
Oh, great question. Well, I think that we just had a philosophy of how do we best support each other throughout this? And, you know, and everyone is different. You know, there were a lot of analogies being thrown out saying, you know, we're all in the same boat together, but ultimately there were different boats, right? It was the same lake or the same body of water, but very different experiences for people. So yes. We just wanted to ensure that people knew that we were available. People knew that, you know, if they needed to reach out, that they could. If we knew of opportunities, we shared them with our membership, our board of directors. And so we are a volunteer board, and our board of directors met every month, even the ones that were laid off during that time, just to stay connected, just to ensure that, you know, we had those touch points and to, you know, to continue to create some opportunities to continue to create that connectedness and to move forward. So, I mean, it was really hats off to many of them who were so dedicated and committed, and are still on our board right now. We've had some turnover, but ultimately we still have like an amazingly strong group of individuals that are part of our association.
That's wonderful. Sandra, I think we have turned this into a self-care podcast. Just
I know.
Inadvertently. We didn't do it on purpose.
That's laid plans, right?
That's right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I will skew it back to events a little bit. We have so many exciting things to talk about with you have such an interesting, diverse history. You've got passions in many different areas. I do want to ask my standard podcast question, which is, what is the one thing you wish more people knew about events?
Wow. That is such a big question.
It is.
It is. I truly believe one of the biggest things is that events matter. I think that is something that people sometimes tend to forget, how purposeful events are. So, you know, a lot in the past, people would go, oh, we're going to an event, it's fluff, it's this, it's that, we just have to show up. But there is a lot of strategy and thinking and purpose put into events that a lot of people don't see those behind the scenes things that actually happen, right? The tactics that you have to go through, the conversations that you have, all the planning that you have to do to ensure that the event that is taking place is the best possible outcome for that end user, which is the eventee. Yes, you, the yes, eventee,
the,
right?
The person, the audience. Yes.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that is, you know, events really do matter. And I think that more people like need to understand that thinking, that proactive thinking that goes in behind the whole event scheme.
Absolutely. One of the many things you have to manage as an event professional are speakers. My favorite, that's where we come in. That's my favorite topic. And I always like to ask if you have a speaker disaster story that you're willing to share. It just makes me feel better about my company career choice. So
I love it. Well, and I have to say that I have been privileged to be in front of incredible speakers from all over the world. And speaking is not easy, right? Speaking is a gift and a talent, and a lot goes into that field. So hats off to all the speakers out there, because it is,
agreed.
You know, yeah. What you all do is phenomenal. And the insights that people are able to leave with others is so valued and wanted and needed these days. But disaster stories, yeah, I do have one. And I've been in the industry multiple decades. So I have engaged speakers. I've been a speaker. My closest colleagues are speakers. And this disaster story comes from one of my first opportunities and events with the CHMSE, and we were doing some sales training, and we needed a customer service speaker. And this man by the name of Mark, and I'm going to use his name because he tells this story to his audiences as well, so it's okay to share his name.
Good.
And he was soliciting to get into the association, because of course any good non-for-profit association doesn't have a lot of funds, but what we do have is members and an audience and people that are willing to listen and then potentially engage you in other opportunities. So I gave Mark, you know, all the demographics, what we're looking for. We did our discovery session. We, you know, really wanted to ensure that he understood what we were looking for. And he's like, yeah, got it. And I had just seen, you know, some clips of what he did. And you typically, you know, after years in the business, you get a good feeling for people, right? And so you're like, okay, I feel like he'll be good. Well, he starts talking, and within 10 minutes of talking, he is telling inappropriate stories around women and a lingerie shop. And I'm not going to get into details, but it was just like my eyes at the back of the room were like, okay. I'm watching body language. I'm thinking, okay, let's just keep moving. So he keeps moving. And then he drops a couple of curse words. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is new. And he just kept kind of doing it as we were going through. And I was just like, okay, head in my hands. They seemed to be okay. There was a little bit of discomfort, but you know, people were polite and whatnot. And I was just like, holy cannoli, I just can't believe that happened, right? I mean, for me as a, as an organizer, as a meeting planner, as you know, someone who brings speakers in, and even I've traveled the world globally with speakers, and they facilitated to global audiences. Like, you know, the key is we do not swear, right? Like, some people, you know, may get away with it at very, very high levels, but even then, we just don't swear, right? So, do you agree?
Yes, I'm saying yes, globally that yeah. Typically, yeah. It's always a safe choice not to swear. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, word to the wise. So, you know, I was so disappointed. We, you know, and I always believe in providing feedback. We had a good feedback session and I had shared with Mark, you know, this just isn't, it was just inappropriate. It wasn't what we had asked for. Our membership is very professional, but also it just goes against our values, right? We just don't speak like that. And, you know, thank you, but we're not going to engage anymore. Fast forward 6 years, and, you know, Mark, bless his heart, kept wanting to reconnect, kept wanting to re-engage. And I'm like, okay, 6 years has passed. I was not convinced. He's like, look, come and see me speak. So he was speaking at a sister hospitality association. And he said, Sandra, come and watch me speak. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't, I totally get it. I'm like, okay, I will do that. So I, you know, went to this association meeting, watched him do an hour keynote. And I was like, wow, okay, he has grown. He has moved on, and you know, things are good. I'm like, okay, Mark, I'm going to give you a second chance because I believe in second chances, right? It's like people can change. So I have him doing a keynote at a gala event for our association that is hosting. It is our honor to our general managers night. And so we have over 30 general managers from across Toronto, you know, from all the hotels there, their directors, their VPs, their managers, and then individual contributors. So it's a big event. We had probably 130 people. So it was a lovely, lovely event, right? Dressed up, Mark is the keynote. I introduce him. He goes in about 10 minutes into the keynote. He is telling a story. And again, and we have our demographics are, you know, widely diverse, right? We've got people from multiple cultures in the room. He starts to tell a story, an inappropriate story. And he is making derogatory comments about a certain group of people. And from a certain demographic, and using the words from that certain demographic. And I am sitting in my chair with my head in my hands, and you can see people, there was a giggle, and then it was like, holy, what did he just say? And like the room just froze, and I was like, oh my gosh. And he just kept going, which is fine, but you know, arms crossed, all of this. And he finished off, and he could tell by the look on my face that it was just like, oh, and he came over to me right away and said, I've told that before and it didn't go that bad. And I said, well, maybe you just should have stopped. like not kept going. And yeah, so lesson learned, I guess. Second chances are good, but sometimes they just don't work out, and there's not going to be a third chance for this one.
No, thank you, Mark. I have so many questions. Like, why did he say why he thought it was a good choice? Did he give any excuse of my meds were off? I mean, anything?
You know, my meds were off, I would have accepted. Like,
right? That's like, legit. That's
totally legit. No, he just based, I think he's colorblind. I think he just didn't get it. This was in 2019. Was it 2019? Yes, it was 2019. And he just didn't seem to, you know, get that it was inappropriate. And I just don't know why. And I'm just not going to go there. So I'm like,
right.
It's right.
It's like, Mark was not as woke as we needed Mark to be. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But you know, I guess it's a lesson, right? Good or bad, I mean, it happens. I guess now it's like, you know, one of the discovery questions is, well, tell me some of your jokes, tell me some of your, you know, the way that you use your language. Do you swear? Yes. I do say to people, do you swear?
Yes. Those are excellent pre-speaker questions. Also questions that the speakers should be asking the event professional and the content manager, the speaker manager, or your audience, if you have an opportunity to say, it's a missed opportunity if we as speakers are not picking up on the vernacular and understanding what's going to fly. As a speaker myself, I have certainly asked the meeting planner to say, what's off the table? What can't, not that I, I talk about professional presence, so it's not super racy or anything. I do always ask, what do you not want me to talk about? I was years ago, got hired to do a keynote for a sales conference, and their industry, they didn't want to talk about handshaking because like touching was off the table for them in any way. And I said, okay, we want to talk about handshakes. Sure.
Yeah. Easy.
Also,
right.
Yes. Yes. So, also, I always curse, no cursing. It's just the safe. You're never going to go wrong by not cursing.
I totally agree. Right. I'm like, who does that? Seriously.
Oh. Wow. All right. Noted. No Mark as a speaker. Okay. And
no.
You do, in general, you do have high standards for, as well you should. Although I think the standards for Mark were a little lower, like just don't curse. Okay. Let's not have that. So what are the other things that the speakers need to do to deliver a really powerful, engaging, inspiring keynote session, talk, whatever it is?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things that I think about. And I think first and foremost is it's always know that you're there for your audience, right? As a speaker, it's put your ego aside and the audience that you're speaking to, right? So who understand your audience, get into, you know, their frame of reference, and really understand who you're speaking to, I think first and foremost. I also believe that engagement is absolutely necessary and needed. So are there some fun things that the speaker can do? Are there some fun questions? Is there a fun little interactive piece, right? Coming from the experiential training world, like we're always focused on that experience. And, you know, when people do, they connect so much more to what we used to, you know, what I refer to as the head, the heart, and the hands, right? And then that way you are, you know, you're really connected and you can also hear and commit to what you are seeing and experiencing. And I think as well, it's, you know, death by PowerPoint, like throw those PowerPoint slides away, right? We're done. We don't yep. need them anymore, right? And like move on to some new creativeness, because we're in a new sphere, right? We're in a new decade and new opportunities. So let's move on from that. And then humor is always welcome. Like, you know, clean humor is great, because bringing joy to audiences and laughing is so phenomenal.
Oh, I am clearly, if not, want to be clear that I'm a huge proponent of humor. I use it a lot in a lot of my work as well. And it is, it's a new time. We're entering a new everything. Last time we spoke, you used the phrase a new now. And yes. I want to know what does the new now look like for you?
I've been thinking about that a lot, and I've used the phrase the new now because I believe that, you know, the new normal has just been overused so much, and people need to be able to live in their present, which is the new now, and being able to really evolve and give people opportunities that they need. I think there's been a lot of different senses that have come through, right, throughout COVID, throughout the pandemic, and people are really seeing the world in a different way. There's new opportunities, there's new ways of thinking, there's new approaches to even working, which is amazing. So how do we embrace our new now? How do we look at what we need and what we want and what we, you know, what those outcomes can be, and be able to move forward in, you know, to be our best selves?
Yes. Excellent. I love it. It's yes. What is the new now? What's the now? I try that as a daily practice of what's happening now, because I can get very much like tomorrow and this variant and this. Yeah. And so yes, what's happening now, what's needed now. So thank you for that well, reminder.
You're welcome. There's so many distractions in today's world, right? Like we're constantly distracted, whether it's our phones, our email, you know, traffic, whatever it might be, that we tend to lose focus, and it's tough. It's really tough. So if we can just kind of zone in, I think that would just be so helpful.
Zone in, maybe perhaps be a little more mindful. Yes, something you know exactly. A little bit about mindfulness. I wanted to ask you about, you created something really cool in my opinion, and I would love for you to talk about doodling for creative mindfulness.
Yeah, I have a partner that I have worked with in the past that has created a program around creative mindfulness. So it's being in the present moment now and finding opportunities to unleash your creativity. And so there's an experience attached to it as well, which is doodling. And many people think about doodling as, you know, something that, oh, I can't do that. I'm not artistic. I can't draw. But really, anybody can draw. And we all have that ability. And the piece to add to it is, irregardless if we can draw or not, there's no one out there to judge, right? Let's take all that judgment away and just have that opportunity to take a few minutes in your day-to-day, unwind, have, you know, what we call a doodle break, and be able to move forward with that. So there's been some great opportunities of working with clients through keynotes that Melissa has done. And it's just been phenomenal to watch her bring this to the world and just unleash that creativeness, unleash that innovation, and help people, you know, take a few minutes to focus.
Wonderful. Where can we learn a little bit more about that if we wanted to check it out?
Yeah, so simple. It's doodlebreaks.com. How easy is that?
That's easy. Everybody could use a doodlebreaks.com. That is wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. You're welcome. I would love to hear how did you end up here? You were born in Croatia. And
I was.
And then grew up outside of Toronto. And so how did we get here? You had a career through other things and then made your way to events. So would you take us back a little bit?
Yeah. So just a quick snapshot. I grew up just outside of Toronto in a city called Guelph and had some great opportunities and worked with a multinational company. I started my career with Johnson & Johnson, McNeil Pharmaceuticals, and was able to work in like multiple different sectors, but decided that I needed to do something different and found this small company that was an experiential learning company called Eagle's Flight. Didn't even know what experiential learning was at that point. I was like, oh, this sounds great. I was like employee number 5 hired and thought, oh, you know what? I'm young enough to do this for a few months. And if it doesn't work out, I'll go back to the big pharma company. Well, fast forward like 24 years later, I had a phenomenal career in learning and development where I was able to travel all over the world. I touched over 70 countries, working in meetings and events. We would bring learning events to corporations and be able to show them how just by not changing their behavior, by seeing how their behavior impacts their day-to-day, they're able to change their behavior for the better. And it was such a gift to be able to do that. You know, I had the pleasure of going to countries like South Africa and Egypt and Kazakhstan and all throughout Europe and Asia, like India and Singapore and Malaysia. Like, it was just phenomenal just to be able to see that ultimately people are the same, right? They have the same desires, the same wants, the same hearts. They just needed opportunities. They needed to be able to see how they could do things differently. And so through that organization, we did huge events from 10 people sessions, and our largest session was over 3,000 people. Wow. And we would do sessions. Yeah, it was like phenomenal. We would do sessions in football stadiums and, you know, large convention centers. And, you know, this was all lots of tactile learning and experience. And it was so phenomenal. So that threw me into the meetings area where, you know, you'd be organizing meetings from that training and development perspective, but it was still, you know, you still needed to ensure that you had all those production levels done and worked through. So moving from there, being part of an association where I, you know, run meetings and events for them just seemed like a perfect give back, you know, multiple years ago. And now I, you know, run meetings through my clients and provide training, provide consulting. And it's a lovely way to be able to do the things that I love to do and, you know, focus on the now.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for taking us on that journey. Amazing.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. Are you ready, Sandra, to jump into our lightning express rounds?
I will do my best.
You're going to do it. I'm going to put 45 seconds on the clock. We have 7 questions and I am going to start. Now, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
The strategy.
Ooh. Who do you consider your mentor?
I have a couple. I'm going to throw out Kellen and Janet.
Oh, yay, Helen and Janet. You have worked in over 70 countries. Which one is your favorite?
Oh, I have so many. My top three, Australia, Italy, and South Africa.
Ooh, I've only been to one of those. Amazing. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
I move. I love doing Pilates and just getting out for walks.
Wonderful. And if you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Oh, other than working, if I was doing something fun, I'd be doing photography.
Oh, nice. And can you say, speaking of events in Croatian?
Ah, can I say it? Yes, I can. Sačemo razgovarati sa events.
I love it. That was amazing. And final question. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. What is the best way to take care?
I'm glad I can remember.
I was amazing. It's amazing. What is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Ask them what they need.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Congratulations. You have killed it in the Lightning Express round. Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. You're welcome.
Sandra Harriet, you were more than a riot. And so lovely. Where, if they want to connect with you, where can people find you?
Yeah, great question. So I can be reached at LinkedIn under I'm the only Sandra Harriet. Or you can reach me through email at riot@bell.net.
Awesome. We will put that in the show notes as well. And thank you. Thank you. We got some self-care. We got some event industry knowledge, as well as even finding our way a little bit back to some doodling for creative mindfulness. So how exciting. Thank you for sharing all of that with us. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And thank you to our audience for listening or watching. If you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast. Give us a killer rating. 5 stars, just 5 stars. That's all I ask. And thank you. Connect with Sandra. She is warm. She is welcoming. She is better than the Toronto ER experience I had. And we appreciate everybody sticking along as far as you did on this podcast. And remember, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.